Balaam loses all he tried to gain. Balak was overwhelmed with disappointed hope, fear, and rage. He was indignant that Balaam could have given him the least encouragement of a favorable response. He regarded with scorn the prophet's compromising, deceptive course, and exclaimed fiercely, "Therefore now flee thou to thy place, I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but, lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor." The answer was that the king had been forewarned that Balaam could speak only the message given him from God. Before returning to his people, Balaam uttered a beautiful prophecy of the world's Redeemer and the final destruction of the enemies of God. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth." He closed by predicting the complete destruction of Moab and Edom, of Amalek and the Kenites, thus leaving to the Moabitish king no ray of hope. Disappointed in his hopes of wealth and promotion, and conscious that he had incurred the displeasure of God, Balaam returned from his self-chosen mission. The controlling power of the Spirit of God left him, and his covetousness prevailed. He was ready to resort to any means to gain the reward promised by Balak. Balaam knew that the prosperity of Israel depended upon their obedience to God. There was no way to cause their overthrow but by seducing them into sin. He immediately returned to Moab and laid his plans before the king to separate the children of Israel from God by enticing them into idolatry. If they could be led to engage in the licentious worship of Baal and Ashtaroth, their omnipotent protector would become their enemy, and they would fall prey to the fierce, warlike nations around them. This plan was readily accepted by the king, and Balaam remained to assist in carrying it into effect. Balaam witnessed the success of his diabolical scheme. He saw the curse of God visited upon his people, and thousands falling under his judgments. But the divine justice that punished sin in Israel did not permit the tempters to escape. In the war of Israel against the Midianites, Balaam was slain. He had felt a presentiment that his end was near when he exclaimed, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." But he had not chosen to live the life of the righteous. His destiny was fixed with the enemies of God. The fate of Balaam was similar to that of Judas. Both men tried to unite the service of God and Mammon, and met with signal failure. Balaam acknowledged the true God, Judas believed in Jesus. Balaam hoped to make the service of Jehovah the stepping stone to the acquirement of riches and worldly honor. Judas expected by his connection with Christ to secure wealth and promotion in that worldly kingdom which he believed the Messiah was about to set up. Both Balaam and Judas received great light, but a single cherished sin poisoned the entire character and caused their destruction. One cherished sin will, little by little, debase the character. The indulgence of one evil habit breaks down the defenses of the soul and opens the way for Satan to lead us astray. The only safe course is to pray, as did David, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not."